You know, I was thinking of something, and maybe I shouldn't do this because it'll probably just take us longer. But when has that ever stopped me? I don't know. I have a Watchman broadcast that is posting right now. Should already be there. And I can't get it on this computer, so I'm not going to bother with it. But it's a what's coming out when I rework the script. I got to rewrite the script. But what's coming out are like apparitions of Mary, or in one case, Jesus. There was a nun lived, I don't know, a few hundred years ago. She's probably a saint now, because that's how it works. If you claim that you get this manifestation, then you're automatically going to be a saint. But anyway, she claims that she had a visitation by Jesus himself, that he appeared in her convent room. And boy, Mother Teresa better not find out she's got a man in her room. But anyway, she claims that this apparition of Jesus, which I can tell you right now wasn't Jesus, and I don't need to be there. It was not Jesus. And this is important. To me, the whole story of Saul claiming that he saw Samuel, to me, is a foreshadowing of events to come. Samuel is the Word of God. He is Christ. But it wasn't really Samuel that showed up there. God had already said that God was not going to talk to Saul by vision, by Urim, or by prophet. What was Samuel? A prophet. God's already said, I'm not sending a prophet to you to speak to you. So who does he go to? A lady that has a familiar spirit. Who does she conjure up? A spirit comes up out of the earth. And but anyway, this nun claims that Jesus showed her an image of him, like a portrait of him, with like light beaming out of his heart and stuff like that, and him giving the blessing, you know. And it had to say some kind of saying on the bottom of it, you know, put your trust in this image of Jesus or something like that. And the promise was that if you look upon that painting that this nun was going to do, that you would receive all of God's graces all the way to the end of your life, and that will carry you on through into eternity. All you had to do is look upon this image of Jesus Christ. Now, people, Catholics don't like us. I don't have anything against a Catholic person. It's their doctrine that I can't stand. It's their theology. It's the bondage that they put people in. And what do you think it costs to get in to see that painting now? What do you think? They just let everybody in for free? Yeah. That's exactly right. When it comes to your soul going to hell, they figured out people will pay whatever it takes, whatever they demand. And if you die, Chris, if you died, the priest would be at your house telling your wife and your kids that you're in purgatory screaming in pain right now, and you need masses to be said, special masses on your behalf to be said, and those things are not cheap. It costs money to say masses, okay? And where do they get the dough for the bread? Mars, you know. But anyway, it's bondage, pure and simple, and it's idolatry. It's exactly what God said, I don't want you doing. And here this Jesus says, make an image of me. The real Jesus says, here it is, right here. This is the Word of God. Amen? All right. So I didn't need to open up that PowerPoint. Acts chapter 1. How many of you ever felt like you've been through the fire? Amen. But God always has a purpose for it. He always does. It's to strengthen us. It is to, what's the word I'm looking for? What do they do to glass? Tempered. Yeah. You go through the fire to get tempered, and that tempering process makes you stronger. They figured out years ago, after years of building cars with just regular glass in it, that when it broke, shards of it just sliced into everybody that was sitting in the car. And so somebody figured out, you know, we can put different glass in there that won't do that. Why didn't we think of that? So that's why when your windshield breaks, it's spider webs all into these little bitty pieces that are just almost harmless. And it doesn't shatter like that anymore. But anyway, let's get to the Word of God. Acts chapter 1, we're going to go through the fire. Not just at the end of the time that God has allotted for us, and I'm speaking of His church here on this earth, but we are going to go through the fire in life. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Jesus did not tell them to paint no painting, sculpt no sculpture, cast no bronze image of Him. So we don't know what Jesus looks like, and we won't know what Jesus looks like. And that's probably why Jesus came when He did, before they invented photography and motion pictures and everything else, because people would be worshiping that instead of Jesus. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith ye, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And it brought me, come on, Mr. Laptop. Come on. After me bragging that I got it fixed. There we go. I got it. Let's turn your Bible to Luke chapter 3 and we'll have prayer. And you pray for me and I'll quit sniffling and everything else. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. And we'll look at what was said by John the Baptist earlier than what Jesus said here. And I was reading this years ago, just studying, and it occurred to me that Jesus left out something here that was spoken of by both Matthew and Luke out of the mouth of two witnesses. And so it got me interested in looking at fire in general in the Bible and what it represented. There's fire that devours and burns and heats, and fire that lights and shines the way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask Your blessings tonight on this service. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for letting us come into Your house. We thank You, God, for fellowship with one another, the love that is in this place. I pray, dear God, that You would make us, Father, fit for Your kingdom. Use us, Father, as You will. And we pray, dear God, that the words that are spoken tonight and the seed that is sown, Lord, would bring in fruit for Your kingdom and Your vineyard. Lord, just we ask You, God, to give us light tonight. Help us to see through the glass darkly and look forward to the day when we are seeing face to face with You. Lord, bless us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name and amen. Amen. Thank You for that. Amen, young ones. Luke chapter 3, verse 16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, And that's like a direct quote from Jesus. John truly baptized with water. He said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He says it again up here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then he goes into describing the fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. What kind of fire is unquenchable? Hell fire. It never goes out, and those who are in that fire never burn up. They just burn for eternity. That is an eternity that, I'm sorry, Mr. Devil, I'm not interested in. And there is nothing in this world worth losing your soul to hellfire for eternity. Nothing is worth it. And so if God wishes for Christ to use the fan in his hand to blow off, we talked about this last Wednesday, this body is the chaff that he's going to get off of us so that we can be resurrected, like in 1 Corinthians 15, the way he describes it, as a seed in the ground, but what comes up is different than what goes into the ground. And that's one of the references that he's giving here. That chaff is going to come off, and he's going to gather his wheat into the garner, but the chaff will burn with fire unquenchable. We know from 2 Peter that at the end of everything in this world and in this universe, the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. Now imagine that. I don't know how hot our sun is. I don't know what the temperature is. But they say, whoever they are, that there are stars out there that burn much hotter and are much, much larger than our sun. And they're still burning. So what temperature would it take to burn everything in the heaven and the earth that God created for this time? Hot, hot, hot. Hot, hot, and double hot, times infinity hot, okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 3, turn there. I know I probably went over this last Wednesday, but just kind of walking the road here. 1 Corinthians 3, 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And that is absolutely true. And the fire shall try. Look at this. Fire goes along with a trial. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So if you're going to build a house in a forested area, or let's say in the mountains surrounding Los Angeles, California, that are notorious for catching on fire like every third week of the month. Okay? If you're going to build a house up there, I would advise you not to build it with cedar siding or vinyl siding. I would get some pigs and have them build you a house of bricks. Little pigs. Not a house of sticks. But anyway, build it out of stone and you won't have that problem. It'll still be there. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So what is Paul telling us here? That our salvation is part, what happens with us in life when fiery trials come. They are there to test. It says work here, so that's what I will preach, and that's what I will say. In 1 Peter, he talks about trying our faith. And our faith is always tied with our works. That's what James said. If you say you believe something, yet it does not abide, then it shows that you don't believe it. If you believe something and the fire comes and your belief is still there, you believed it. It's manifest. Yet so as by fire. Now, 2 Thessalonians. Here's where it's going to get interesting. 2 Thessalonians. As we know, Paul mentioned the doctrine of the rapture in 1 Thessalonians. And I found out one day, just reading 1 Thessalonians, it dawned on me that in every chapter of 1 Thessalonians, Paul mentions something about the appearing of the Lord. He says it in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Chapter 4 is where he gives us, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And then he says in chapter 5 of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Then we get into 2 Thessalonians, and he mentions it in chapter 2, I know for sure, when he talks about in verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is a reference to the translation or the rapture, the gathering up, being caught up. But look in chapter 1, verse 6. We could move back a little bit to get the gist of this. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and what? Tribulations that you endure. Do you get persecuted? Do you suffer tribulation? Okay? Tribulation is a word related, I've pointed this out before, related to trouble. And if you look in the scripture, they tend to go hand in hand. The tribulations that you endure, those tribulations are allowed by God. Do not believe Joel, smiling Joel Osteen. Don't believe a word that comes out of his million-dollar teeth. He's lying through them. He is saying that to get money out of you. It's like every one of these health and wealth prosperity preachers have their own little pyramid scheme going. Who's always at the top of the pyramid in these schemes? They are. It works for them. They're getting filthy rich off of you sending your money into them. And there is a clip, I think I saved it, of Joel Osteen saying this. I've heard this before from prosperity preachers, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. But Joel Osteen said it, that when he said, when you give to our ministry, you're not giving to me, you're giving to God. So that God's kingdom can increase in wealth in this world, And God then will bless you for the money that you're lending him. And when he said that, what does it say, John? The scriptures say the borrower is servant to the lender. Scriptures say that. Book of Proverbs, I believe. So think about now what he said, that you're lending money to God, okay? Like God needs it. That is Number one, if you're that stupid, you deserve Joel Osteen. But you're lending money to God, and according to God's own rules, he now has become your servant. He has to work on your terms, not his. So it's just like debt nowadays. People that get in debt, they are the servant to the debtor or to the lender. They are the servant to them, and they have to do what they have to do. There are scammers who run things all the time, bringing immigrants from China, from Indochina, from the Asian nations, from Mexico, from every place in the world where poverty reigns, telling those people that they can get them a ride over here, and they know where the wall ain't, so they can get into this country. And once they're here, then they'll just have to work a little bit and pay off the debt, and then they'll be fine. But we all know that that's a scam. They're going to bring these people in, have them work for contractors that they know in restaurants or in factories or in whatever for almost nothing an hour. And they're not going to say anything to the authorities because they're told if you say anything to the American authorities, they'll send you back to where you came from. And then you're going to lose everything, and on and on and on. And people start wondering, when is their debt going to be paid off? Oh, you've got a ways to go yet. And people are in bondage to that. I thought I would just throw that in there. I'm pretty sure I saved that clip. And if I can find it, I'll say something about it on PMO or something. Or maybe on a Wednesday night. Like I just did. Anyway, seeing it as a righteous thing with God. Look at this. To recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Verse 6. And to you who are troubled, see how he's linked tribulation with trouble. To recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. In other words, those that trouble you, God is going to pay back. The word recompense is where we get the word penny and a pence, and that's where the word comes from. Recompense, pay the pennies back. God is going to pay back with tribulation those that trouble us. God did not say that he would save us from those who want to trouble us so they can't trouble us. He did not say that. He said they are going to trouble you. Don't worry. I'm going to pay them back. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And to you who are troubled, listen to what he says. To you who are troubled, rest with us. Paul has been dead now some 2,000 years. Rest with him. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed, here it is, here's a rapture. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Oh, I can't wait. His mighty angels. Look at verse 8. First three words. In flaming fire. Now, here's what I did on the day that I was reading this. I've got my old King James, can of King James here. And I typed in flaming fire. And I looked at those verses. And look at the very first one. Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Which of his angels? All of them. All of them. So Pastor Mike, are you saying that God is going to allow his people to endure suffering at the hands of evil angels? I'm telling you, I've had it happen this month. Okay? And just about every time God starts really doing something good, either with me or our family or the church or whatever, here comes the flaming fire spirits. and they're not nice. And so that hit me. Why would God say it like that? And this goes to something that I don't talk about much, and I don't know why, because to me it's a foundational doctrine. One of the things that I really learned from studying one Bible was that I could see how God had used three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, having them translated into one static, solid translation, so that by the same guys, by the same team, the same men, in between 1604 and 1611, so that things like this that you see in the Old Testament, you are guaranteed that they have a meaning in the New Testament. And they're linked together by the words, by the phrases. By the way, Donna, the software lady, sent me an email. I'm just now kind of figuring out what she did. She said she added some code to the software. It's got a new feature that if you hit a certain button, I haven't played with it, but she sent me a text document that would reach from here to San Antonio, Texas. And all you do is type in like the word blood. It will automatically give you every place in the Bible where the word blood is used as a phrase, as part of a phrase. It'll give you all the verses where words come after the word blood, where they come before the word blood, but basically it's a phrase search tool. So you don't have to think of phrases. There's a whole printout here for you to look at, okay? I just read it today and just kind of figured out once I read part of the document she sent me to see what was going on. I'm going, oh, okay, so you type in a word like stone or temple or body or blood or anything like that, and it'll give you an immediate printout of every phrase in the Bible where that word is used. And it's pretty awesome, I think. But anyway, look at Psalm 105. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. Now, that was in the Old Testament, and it was part of what he did to Egypt. But in the end days time, this is where I'm going with this. I believe that there is going to be a fire storm coming to this world. And that fire storm is a raining down of evil spirits. And I've got notes from a video that I made several years ago. I don't know how long ago it was. But let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. Fire from Heaven Conference. Join us for a night of fire with our youth band. Okay. Firestorm 2018. I guess I made this in 2018. God Culture, Firestorm Conference, Glory, a cinematic worship experience. And then, this is from Shabbat.org. Shabbat.org is a Orthodox Jewish organization that promotes Judaism. Current modern Judaism is Kabbalah. It is witchcraft. It is sorcery, it is divination, it is everything that God told them not to do in Deuteronomy 18, all rolled up into one package. It is everything that God said ever about the Jews. It is the worst religion, I think, in the world. It is the most difficult to understand. Most Jewish sages who have studied Kabbalah all of their lives and studied the text of Kabbalah, including a compilation called the Zohar. They'll read it 20 times, 30 times, 40 times. It will not matter. They do not understand most of it. And yet, they keep presenting it as this is the way to God. But it's not. Within you is a fire from heaven. Who's ever heard of the phrase, everyone has a spark of divinity in them? You ever heard of that? That's who it came from. Who's ever heard of the Big Bang theory of how the universe came to be? Guess where it came from? Came from Jewish theologians. It came from Kabbalah theologians who taught that God, the one true God, made several lower emanations of himself, copies of himself, until he got to this one called Adam Kadmon, which is supposed to be like the Jewish God Messiah thing. And Adam Kadmon was far enough away from God to create all the matter. And they teach that all of the mass of the universe was in one infinite point that had infinite weight and almost no mass. It was like the little dot. And that dot exploded. And what it did was, since it was part of Adam Kadmon, who was divine, that means that in every atom of the universe is a spark of the divine. Meaning that you and I, we have a spark of divinity in us. If you've seen the movie Bruce Almighty, where, who's the guy that plays God? Huh? Morgan Freeman plays God. And he pronounces that doctrine. You know, within everybody is a spark of divinity. Everybody's got a little piece of God in them. And they teach that doctrine. And they say that all it needs is something to make it come to a full flame of Godhood. In other words, you can become a God because you already have it in you. And that's what they're teaching. So you add that to UFO kooks, and what you get is this idea that when they come down, they're going to fill us, all of mankind, with their knowledge and their being, and that will spark in us into a full flame, and we will all be gods. Okay? That's where I'm going with this. Never underestimate the power of your soul. You are going to be God. And they do goofy things with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Guess what that's about? DNA. Anyway, let me go back here. Back to 2 Thessalonians. In flaming fire, verse 8, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Now, who's this flaming fire for? It's for those who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you obey the gospel? You believe it. Who hath believed our report? And he said in verse 9, who shall be punished with ever... Look at this. How long does their punishment last? Forever. So no. The answer is no. People who die and go to hell are not just going to burn up. And that's the end of it. They shall never, ever cease burning up. Never. You take that home with you. You pray about that. You make sure your heart's right with God. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. He's telling you when it's going to happen. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So now we have the foundation of what I believe is going to take place. So we go to 1 Peter. And two places in Peter. Peter is it's an awesome book. 1 Peter is. And it's five chapters. If you believe the Word of God, you will believe that we will be tried with fire. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When did he say it was going to happen? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, that's what Paul said, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Paul and Peter are on the same page here. They're saying the same thing. And they're teaching the same doctrine from two different viewpoints, but it's the same idea. And I always like to point out, it's a trial of your faith. You know, I preached here a couple Sundays ago about how we can go through things that make us want to just give up. I've been there numerous times. I will be there again. There's no doubt of it. It's how God refines us, how he tempers us, how silver, how the dross is removed from silver and from gold. So that, and our faith is much more precious than gold. What I believe, and the book that has been, we sang the song about the anchor tonight, will your anchor hold? I had a preacher ask me one time, Pastor Mike, what kind of keeps you from just going off the deep end on some of this stuff? I said, the Bible. The Bible's the anchor. If the Bible says it, I'm in good shape. If the Bible doesn't say it, I'm going to sweat a lot, and I'm going to try to come up with reasons why it's right anyway. No, not really. But if the Bible says it, then that's what it says. I believe it. Southwest Radio has asked me to go to Cincinnati. So we're going to go there the first weekend in June at the Marriott, I think it's the Marriott Airport Convention Hall. And the theme of it is, and they give the names of the speakers, and it says, these guys will tell you all the things your Sunday school teacher didn't tell you. And I like that, you know, because I always show up and say, aren't you guys the people who believe in giants, dragons, and unicorns? And they just kind of look at me funny. Said, yeah, of course you do. You believe the Bible. But anyway, it's your faith that's going to be tried. And trust me, the devil does not care who you are. He does not care what position you hold. He does not care about your family. He does not care about the people you love. In fact, he is here to destroy everything that he can destroy. He is moving, going, and looking for things to devour so he can devour them as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is constantly on the lookout, trying to find people that he can rip their faith to shreds. And he finds them. He finds them, and there's always some church that's at a loss because somebody decided that this ain't worth it, I don't believe it, and they walk out and leave, never to come back again. And it's every pastor's nightmare when he sees people do that. It's every pastor's nightmare when they themselves go through it. And then they got to preach, standing up there, not sure if it's true. I've been there. And I'm telling you, that's what people go through. That's what pastors go through. I don't wear my Superman S under my shirt when I preach. But anyway, your faith tried with fire might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then turn to chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, what he says here, he says it in love. Beloved, think it not strange concerning thee fiery trial, which is to try you. He mentions a specific one, the fiery trial. Now, like I said, there's fiery trials that happen with people all the time. We have people in this church right now that are going through it. A fiery trial. And it tries their faith, their stand, their belief. Is this what you really are? And I mentioned in that message that I preached the idea of we gonna fall, but those who are tried with fire and endure, they get back up and they keep pressing on. This fiery trial is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. And I have always looked at that as the current rapture model is that nothing happens to us good American Christians until the rapture happens, and then we escape all the bad stuff. So find all the bad stuff in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Find it in the book of Revelation. All that scary stuff that's going to happen, that's going to happen to the Jews and everybody else. But us good American Gentile Christians, that's not going to happen to us. And I think they're going to say, what is this strange thing happening here? Okay? What is this going on? Because this wasn't in the map, the drawing, the diagram that these people made of how everything was going to happen. But rejoice, he says, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. If we are Christ's, we will be partakers of his sufferings. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Can't wait for that to happen. Amen? You rejoice with exceeding joy. And again, this fiery trial is to try you, and it's a trial of your faith and what you believe. And do you still stand on scriptures? And every day they come up with some new reason why the universe is 13.5 billion years old and it's not working out for them, because they got telescopes now that are calling them all liars. And they're having to figure out how to rewrite this and save their theory. And I just think it's just easier to believe day one, day two, day three, day four, the evening and the morning were the sixth day, and then God rested. I think that's easier. And it sure answers a lot of questions that I have. Amen? Amen. But don't think it a strange thing concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. People like Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers will tell you that if you're going through bad times, it's your fault because you proclaimed it out of your mouth. That's witchcraft. God tells you if you're going through a fiery trial, that's what you can expect. This is part of thinning out the vine in John chapter 15. This is part of, like I said earlier, getting the dross out of the silver and the gold. This is about taking the fan and blowing off the chaff into the fire while he takes the wheat and puts it into his barn, his garner, and saves it for eternity. This is what this is about here. And I just want to encourage everybody. There may be somebody tonight who's going through a fiery trial. And if you are, you have my sympathy. And if you are, then God's people are going to pray for you. And you just wait and see what God does. Because I promise you, He'll do it. And it'll be good. And when you get on the other side of it, you'll then be able to see, well, now I can see what God was doing. Now I can see how God does this. And as you get more mature in living the Christian life, these things are almost expected. Almost expected. You can just almost say, you know what? I thought something like this would happen. And sure enough, here it is. And now's the time to pray. Now's the time to get in the Word. Now's the time to get sober about living for the Lord. Amen. Amen.